Hey, Vinny.
What's up, Ty?
Vinny, we got a lot to talk about. We got Tommy John. The A's are now they're going to Sacramento. And maybe some hot takes. You got some hot takes for us?
Yeah, I always got some hot takes. High into right back
at the swung on a joke deep to right field. There it goes. See ya.
First hit of the year.
Oh. He drives one. Deep left field. That goes up to it.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, folks. Welcome to episode 78 of the Big Fly Pod with your co-host Vinny Amato and T. Lou. Vinny, I didn't mean to cut you off, but I had to because we have so much to talk about, brother. We got, like we talked about, Tommy John going on in baseball right now and some other things. But before we do that, we saw each other yesterday. Or if people are listening to this on Tuesday, we saw each other on Sunday. We saw each other over the weekend.
Yeah. It was great to see you. I'm out in Arizona right now. I'm actually just checked into my hotel and we're here recording before some night games. But yeah, we saw each other the other night. I saw your beautiful home, got a cute little dog, and too bad the wife, fiance wasn't there. And I'm psyched to talk about some baseball though. Let's dive into it.
Let's dive into it because we are recording just about 40 minutes ahead of the Cubs versus Padres game, which is a brittle. Wow. Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Start over.
Gosh, yeah. Do you want to restart?
No. Okay, people can deal with that. If you can't deal with it.
A little bit of a pretty critical game for the Cubs as they roll into their West Coast trip. But we are not a biased Cubs fan podcast. Vinny, we are not. We are not.
No, but the Cubs are the best team in baseball, so.
Maybe we should stop there and put that at the end of the
episode. Sure. Okay. That's my hot take. No. Go ahead. What do you got? What do you want to start with?
Tommy John sucks. Not the person.
I was going to say,
not
who is
the
he?
Player.
Sure. Okay.
But the injury that has really relished across baseball pretty much since you and I began really playing the game. And we unfortunately heard the news that Shane Bieber has now gone down with a UCL injury and will be required to get Tommy John. Of course, we've heard Spencer Strider having some concerns and maybe needing some additional testing or opinions, which is always a really, really scary situation. Vinny, we've lost guys like Yuri Perez, Sandy Alcantara, Lucas Giolito. I mean, the list is extensive. Guys are coming back, thankfully, like Walker Buehler, but Kyle Wright, Felix Bautista, the game is worse without these individuals around. I'll give you a pure example. Gerrit Cole being out of the game right now is bad for baseball. And we fear that he may require some form of additional surgery. Vinny, I heard an amazing conversation on the Just Baseball show between Arm Layton and Jack McMullen where they really dove in deep to this. So if some of my takes are related to what they discussed, it's because they did such a great job with the way that they went about it. But I want to stop talking on my side because I do want to hear your thoughts on really the topic of Tommy John surgery, arm injuries in baseball these days.
You know, you see a lot on social media, Twitter especially, right, that people seem to want to blame the pitch clock and they want to blame they want to blame spin rates and velocity and things like that. And it seems to me when you take one of those approaches, you're missing the whole picture. And I think Gerrit Cole today explained it very well. He kind of came out and spoke about it. And he said, you know, because I don't know if you saw the MLBPA came out with a statement about the pitch clock, and then MLB rebutted like immediately and said, no, it's not the pitch clock. We've had Johns Hopkins research and stuff like that. And Gerrit Cole explained it as, I feel like the players are a child and the PA and MLB are like divorced parents and they're just like going back and forth. And it feels like they're not actually trying to get anything accomplished. They're just trying to like maybe prove their point or prove their side. And Cole, said it more elegantly than that. But if you ask, I think most baseball fans or most people, I think that it's a combination of the two, right? you can't expect guys to be throwing 100 all the time. You just can't. And they're throwing, you know, new sweeper. That's been huge lately. You know, all of these high spin rate pitches, now they don't have sticky tack, right? Which, you know, you mentioned earlier, Tyler Glass now said, you know, has changed the way he's pitched, right? He has to grip the ball a little harder. He feels it more in his elbow, right? You mentioned that. And so that on top of the pitch clock, who Gerrit Cole said it affected him. He felt more fatigued quicker than he would have anticipated. And yes, he was able to work through it, but look at where we're at now, right? So I think the pitch clock has kind of become a scapegoat because that's where we hit the tipping point, right? We're seeing all of these guys go down and it sucks. You're absolutely right. It sucks for the game of baseball because we only have right now two current Cy Young pitchers who are healthy, and that is Corbin Burns and Blake Snell. Outside of that, Justin Verlander's hurt, Jacob deGrom's hurt, like Robbie Ray, all of these big names. These are the best pitchers in baseball who can't be pitching. And the list, like you said, is extensive. So, yes, it sucks for baseball. Nobody wants to see it. It's tough because it's like, where do we go from here? And we don't really know. And that's kind of we're in between a rock and a hard place. And, you know, I don't know if there's a direction to go right now, but I think we all have to come to terms with this isn't just the pitch clock or it isn't just velocity. It's a combination of probably 10 different factors that are being thrown in there, and trying to find a solution requires us to look at the whole picture. So I don't know what the answer is, but it does suck. As a baseball fan, it is probably the worst thing I have experienced as a fan, maybe besides the lockout or COVID or anything like that, because these are some of my favorite players. I love watching pitchers, especially, you know, the highest level. So it sucks. It really does. So that's my take on it. I'm curious to hear your thoughts because I want to hear kind of what RM said. He's a guy I respect very much. So I want to hear kind of what are some things that he dove into and your thoughts.
First off, again, shout out to RM. I would love to have him on this podcast because I think that his knowledge for what he discusses about minor league baseball, and then of course his knowledge about MLB, his minor league knowledge is truly off the charts. And it's a guy that for anybody who is listening to this that would love to know a little bit more about minor league baseball, but maybe doesn't want to watch the games or doesn't want to do all that, just follow what RM Layton has to say, his videos on Twitter, because he does a tremendous job. Now, to also give him his flowers as well, RM made some really good points. And I thought one of the more interesting points that he made in his conversation with Jack on their episode was that they discussed the aspect of players, young players, trying to have high velo without actually pitching, right? I think, Vinny, you and I growing up, you'd either hear he's a thrower or he's a pitcher. And I'm not being mean to you, but you weren't necessarily a high velo guy.
No, I was not.
but you could place the ball wherever you wanted and then come in with a 12-6, right? Mm-hmm. Which was pitching, which at the end of the day, the best pitchers sometimes are the ones that are the best pitchers. They're not the best throwers. And so one of the points that he made was that young kids, especially 15, 16, 17, all they see on social media, which you and I experience, was this kid is going to Clemson. This kid is going to USC. This kid is going to Vanderbilt. This kid is going to Florida. Why? Well, he throws 98 with sink. He throws 94, 95, 96 with two-seam movement with an unbelievable slider. And for a lot of guys, they go, well, I want to do that because if he's doing that, that's how I get to that level. Well, let's be honest. If I go pitch at the University of Florida and I throw 98 miles per hour, and I don't get to the big leagues, was it all worth it?
It's a good question. I don't know.
Was it really, really worth it? And so what he was saying was that kids would go out there and be like, I'm going to throw as hard as I possibly can because I can present these numbers to these coaches that were maybe not able to attend based on budget and some other things to be able to come see me perform on the field. So all they're going to see are my numbers. They don't give a crap about how many guys I walked, how many hits I gave up, and how wild I was around the zone. That is a really, really sad dynamic because at the end of the day, if we're talking about baseball, these players go from high school where it's all about the team. They go to college, it's all about the team. Then they go to the minor leagues. And in the minor leagues, a lot of the times, these guys are just trying to find a way to the big leagues, right? Yeah. So not only are they trying to throw hard so they can get to a big college, now they want to throw hard so they can get drafted, and now they want to throw hard because they have to get through the big leagues. Stress and stress and stress and stress. So they consistently are putting stress and probably going above the abilities that they have as a human being, right? So you said it best, where there are 10 different reasons as to why these players are experiencing the injuries that they have. The recovery and everything that goes on now regarding baseball and athletes and everything that they have is truly off the charts and should be, you know, should be well respected for the guys that are able to help these players continue to stay in shape and form and try to resist some of these injuries that they have. But at the end of the day, if we are going to consistently make this about velo, spin rate, and every kid that sees on social media that this kid throws 88, but he has 2,400 RPMs on his fastball, that's a serious issue if we're talking about the health of the players. One other thing that Aram made before I go off of this, because I may kind of try to facilitate my points in here as well, but Aram related it a little bit to like concussions in football. Now that's, of course, concussions in football. That's right. Life or death we're talking, yeah. Right? But the NFL made a huge point to say, okay, we're going to work on these things and we're going to throw out new rules and we're going to do all these things. And everybody wants to make their takes now as to why football is not the same. Well, they're trying to save the players, right? Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, it's kind of nicer to see this guy live, you know, into his 80s, 90s than it is to watch him, you know, get sacked in the head, you know, at the 40-yard line during a week 4 football game. Let's just be honest. So with these players, what he said was that the MLB needs to come up with something like this. But I think the number one thing to mention here, though, and they said it best because I agree with it completely, and this isn't a substitute to a Just Baseball podcast, by the way. This is just what I've listened to thus far regarding the situation. But you can't really do anything at this point because you need to do a couple things. You need to delete social media entirely. You need to delete Prep Baseball Report, Perfect Game, any of these ranking websites. Mm-hmm. You also need to remove these players. Like you'd almost have to force kids in America to play multiple sports so they are able to relieve the workload that they have on their arms. None of these points have to do with anything that is going on in the MLB right now with these guys. These guys are literally pushing themselves to the brink to make it. And you can't fault them for that.
Yeah.
Because right. They literally are trying to, this is their job. Minor leaguers, hey, just a heads up, everyone. Minor leaguers don't make a ton of money. And they are living on a budget, a very, very tight one. And they have to figure out any flipping way to get to the big leagues. Yeah. They have to do the things that they know will probably propel them to a Tommy John surgery in order to be successful. That is so messed up to think about. And Vinny, you said it best earlier. We are at the peak now where it's about the pitch clock. And I'm just like, when people say it's the pitch clock, these kids are, you know, they're not like, it's like, do you understand how many times these guys have thrown baseballs in their life at high velo? And now you watch a 16-year-old going out there throwing 99 miles per hour. You're telling me that it's about the pitch clock and the MLB as to why these players are dealing with arm injuries? Give me an effing break.
There is so much to dive into. And you said everything perfectly. You're absolutely right. And, you know, we've seen this firsthand, right? And I've, you know, as a pitcher myself, like, I remember, you know, and I don't want to get too anecdotal here because I know people don't want to hear back in my day, right? But it's true, right? I went up against a very good Wisconsin team and there was someone there to scout me, tons of other scouts in the audience. And he left after like the second inning. I ended up throwing 6 shutout innings against a very good team, like a top ranked team in Wisconsin. He left after the second inning because I saw he had his gun and I was probably hitting low 80s. About 80 miles an hour. That's just not going to cut it for, you know, I was probably a senior in high school or junior in high school. And it's sad. Like, they're just looking for the guys who can throw hard because then they say, oh, we can mold him into whatever we need. But you can't mold guys who just have no, you know, nothing in their elbow at that point. And, you know, you're absolutely right, too. These guys just want to make it, right? They're going to do everything that they can to try to become major leaguers because if they get that one big check or that one big contract, it's all worth it, right? Everything that they've done is worth it. But until you get there, you know, you're destroying yourself, unfortunately. And the comp to football is a good one. one that I wouldn't have thought of. Obviously, like you said, it's life or death, right? It's a little bit different, but same kind of principle, right? If we can learn something from that, I think we should absolutely take those lessons. But what do we do, right? What do we do?
You know, what was a really great point that I heard was Justin Verlander. Did you hear about what he said?
No.
Justin Verlander was having a conversation last year with Max Scherzer. And when Verlander was, it was either pre or post game to his minor league or rehab outing. When they asked him about it, he said the pitchers should be, or teams, excuse me, should be incentivized for their pitcher going longer in starts.
Okay.
So if a team, we obviously now have strictly DH across the league. If you don't get your starting pitcher to the sixth inning, you lose your DH. And I was like, wow. I was like, that.
What do you mean lose your DH? What do you mean?
So then you have to, so your pitcher then is your,
then
is
your pitcher, whoever your pitcher was, is hitting.
So you lose your bench, obviously. But I thought that was a fascinating argument because it's saying you have to have your pitcher be able to go 90 to 100 pitches and not have a worry about him getting there. What does that mean? He's not a high risk arm, which would be really cool, which would say, guys, we need to make sure your arms are more endurance versus you come in for four innings and pump 99, but you're only able to get to the fourth inning because you're at 80 to 90 pitches already.
It's interesting. I haven't thought of that. And there's a lot there. That's one of the reasons why I disliked the universal DH. I kind of wish every pitcher had to hit because I think it adds another element to the game. Like, I know people don't want to watch a guy who's hitting 100, right? I get that. But if you have pitchers who are good hitters, that just increases their value, right? And I love to watch that. Like Jake Arrieta, who would hit bombs, or, you know, in our intro, we have Bartolo Colon. Like, those moments are gone in baseball. There was something else I was going to say about it, but I'm drawing a blank. What do you think about this? I saw this option or idea as well. Pitchers, and I don't know how I feel about it yet. It was just something that I saw, so don't roast me on it right away. But anytime a pitcher throws a ball, say, above 95 miles an hour, it's considered a ball no matter what.
So or he throws
like that. He throws, so he has to throw under 95 miles an hour every pitch.
I mean, let's be honest. The only time that people really truly care that a guy throws 99 miles per hour is a couple of things. One, they're a real, real true fan, and they understand the intricacies of the game, and they recognize that, hey, we need to throw in more high velo guy. Other than that, it's just for clicks on social media, if we're being realistically honest.
I mean, it's hard to hit 100. It's really hard.
It's really hard. But like, I'm saying, though, from a fan standpoint, you watch your little thing on X or whatever it's called, and you see that a guy throws 100 miles per hour. You get instantaneous dopamine from it and say, oh, this is really cool. And then you're like, I don't care.
Well, and you know what's interesting about that too is you have guys like Hunter Green, for example, who, yes, he throws 100 miles an hour, but something that people don't consider very often is his extension is so short that it actually like plays closer to like mid-90s, low-90s, because he does not get out to throw the ball, versus you have some guys who really do get out but don't throw 100, but it appears like it's 100, right? And so that's another part of it too, right? We don't consider that because we just look at the radar gun. So, yeah, interesting point there.
Glasnow is a
prime
example of the complete opposite, where it's 97, 98, but guys say it feels like 102, 103.
I don't know how hard Tim Lincecum threw, but he feels like one that kind of had that same, you know, like he was very big on that, right?
He was sort of the pioneer of the new age of pitching and all those things. Yeah. And well, hey, guys, he was a little different.
Yeah.
At the end of the day. So, well, let's talk about things that are going to get a little weird.
I know, sure.
The A's are going to Sacramento. The A's announced last Thursday that they will play in Sacramento from 2025 to the end of the 2027 season. Sutter Health Park will host the Athletics, better known as the A's. They will not retain the Oakland A's name, of course, and they will not bring on the Sacramento A's name. They will just be the A's. The move will, of course, lead to the A's becoming the Vegas A's and having their own ballpark in Las Vegas in 2028. The Sacramento ballpark currently hosts the AAA affiliate for the Giants. The word right now is that they will both share the stadium until the 2028 season. Okay. Your thoughts?
I don't know. It's this saga is just, I mean, you know, the worst part about it to me, honestly, like I know Oakland's losing a baseball team, right? And the city of Oakland absolutely should be upset about that. But I think the part that hurts me as a baseball fan is this team is not going to be competitive for at least 5 years. And that's the part that I just can't fathom as a fan. Like, I don't care where you play. Like, we saw this with, like, Toronto, right? When COVID hit, they had to bounce around, right? They were playing in Buffalo for a little bit because Canada had different COVID rules or, you know, restrictions. I really don't care where you play. Make your team competitive. And the Oakland A's seem to be doing everything that is not making their team competitive. And, you know, yeah, the move we knew was coming. So I'm not too, like, I don't know. I don't know if I have a thought on them going to Sacramento in particular, but I wish they were a competitive team at least, or, you know, at least a middle of the pack team. And they're not even close to the bottom rung. They're the worst team. Maybe, although Colorado's chasing them pretty quickly, but they are the worst team.
It sucks. It really sucks. And I want to say that when you have the opportunity to own one of the MLB franchises and you have the idiocracy to never do anything right, it blows my mind. John Fisher can't do anything right. Okay. He goes out there and says, quote, during the press conference, this is one of the most unbelievable things I've ever heard.
Yeah.
Being able to watch some of the greatest players in baseball, end quote, but basically saying in this ballpark, quote, whether they be athletics players or Aaron Judge and others, watching home runs out of the most intimate ballpark in all of MLB for the next 3 years. Hey, jackass. This is not about home runs. This is about the fact that you consistently find a way to cut every single corner and you use pennies instead of dollars to make any formal decisions. You don't sign anybody. Name the last guy who was signed with the A's, Vince.
Fujinami out of Japan.
Where did he go?
Is he San Diego now? He's not with
He got traded to Baltimore.
Yeah. Baltimore. Sure.
Besides that, I can't name the last guy, right? So you don't sign any of your players. You don't bring any value to your organization. You can't seat more than 4,000 people in a stadium. Mind you, the Oakland Coliseum sits over 46,000 people. The new ballpark you're going to host 14,000. And I can almost guarantee that the Sacramento, whatever the team that's there, has more fans at that ballpark in the next 3 years during their home games instead of your games, because every fan of the Oakland A's hates your guts. You can't stand there and think what you are saying, which is, I want to see Aaron Judge hit home runs in this ballpark, is not going to do well in a conversation. You do not belong in any form of business in your life. At the end of the day, your business is about the customer. And if your customer doesn't like your product, then you're not going to have any success. And all this guy does is routinely screw up year over year over year and says some of the stupidest crap that I've ever heard when it comes to anything related to where he could make a positive step forward, has never made one. Trevor May said it best. He played for that organization, went on his podcast, and he didn't say one good thing about John Fisher. And if he had to, it would have cost him a lot of money in order to do it, because there's no way he would have said it. So I say to this, what I also found hilarious was the Chronicle's Eli M. Rosenberg reports that the city of Oakland's final offer to the A's was a 3-year, $60 million lease. Okay. he was offered $97 million and still turned it down. So I guess maybe that goes against my point a little bit, because he's obviously, you know, getting less money. So the business side of things, he's getting a little bit more money. So congratulations, John. You did great on that front. You got a worse offer and you consistently make the wrong decisions. But I just say, man, like, I could see it when I'm blanking on the announcer for the A's that pitched one, got through a perfect game and everything.
There's Ken Korach, Vince Contronio.
What's the? I'm so sorry. What's the guy's name? He's the. Oh my gosh, he's so unbelievable on Twitter.
Glenn Kiper.
Oh, Dallas Braden. Dallas Braden.
Dallas Braden. Okay.
Dallas Braden legitimately almost started crying on air when he had to talk about how he had to stay with the fans. The fans have had a boycott where they packed the stadium and packed outside the stadium. They're giving the most effort out of anybody I've seen. When I heard that they did a boycott where they were going to sit outside the stadium, right? John Fisher doesn't sit there and go, man, those people are taking time out of their day away from their families, and all they're trying to do is have a positive experience for their day and for their lives, because that might be that kid's only MLB game he can ever go to. That might be that family's only game that they can ever go to. And guess what? They have to make a point to you that they care about the team, and you simply consistently screw everything up. And I hope this guy is forced out of this league and people recognize how ridiculous of a process this has been and how bad he has made it for those fans, the city of Oakland, the city of Vegas. And now he's going to bring this into Sacramento. He just consistently just brings his wear and tear across the state of California. That man does not deserve to have a job. And I mean that lightly, because I never want to say people should be fired, because at the end of the day, it's people's living. But when you screw up as much as you have and you consistently make this organization look poorer and poorer when there are great people that work for it and great players on the field that work their tail off to get there, I hope this man never sees an office in MLB ever again after he is done.
Yeah. We don't know when that's going to be, right? Unfortunately. I mean, he's got a, he owns a team, and I think you made a lot of great points though, because I could not get over the fact Oakland offered you a lease to stay here. Why wouldn't you, it doesn't make sense to me. Why wouldn't
build
you
take your stadium
it and try to build a little? I don't get it. I don't. I remember when we first started talking about this move to Vegas, what was that, back in November, October, something like that, September, I don't know, sometime last fall. There was a lot that we didn't really understand. And I think at the time I had defended John Fisher a little bit, not because I knew anything about him, but because the move made a lot of sense to me. I'm like, okay, you want to relocate, right? Makes sense to have a team in Vegas. We don't have one yet, right? We've seen football teams and hockey teams evolve there. But the more that I've kind of uncovered it and listened to Oakland fans and kind of realized what's happening, yeah, it's so crushing. This is probably the biggest, I don't know what the word is, but when you think about teams that have transferred from city to city, this is the biggest and most disappointing and most painful one that we've ever experienced in any sport, that, any major sport. This one sucks. And, my heart goes out to the fans of Oakland. It really does. Like, I don't know how many of them are going to be Vegas fans, Vegas A's fans or whatever it is. Or maybe when MLB expansion inevitably comes, there's a team in Oakland and there's a little bit of a rivalry. I don't know what that's going to look like, but until something gets resolved, my heart goes out to the Oakland fans.
Okay. I am going to take one positive out of this.
Sure. What do you got?
So what have Oakland A's fans done basically is boycott, right?
Yeah. Good for them.
What if they boycott every single game the A's have in Sacramento, so John Fisher doesn't make a dollar off of fan attendance during the next 3 years?
I could see. I mean, I don't know who's going to go to the games anyways.
He's going to have to spike up the prices. You know, I think about the Coyotes out here. So the Coyotes, sure, that was a whole different situation. But basically, the Coyotes were in west side of Phoenix. They lose the rights to their stadium over in Glendale, I think. And then now they're playing at ASU. And so I wanted to go watch a game the other night. The prices are atrociously expensive to go watch them play at ASU, which is like downsizing by three or four times. Now, they supposedly are now, it came through, I think, last week, that they're going to build their stadium out in Northern Scottsdale and Desert Ridge and all that out here.
Sure.
But they spiked up their prices. Nobody hates the Coyotes. Nobody like sits there and goes, screw them, I'm not going to go to their games. They still pack the stadium. They did it great. They've done a great job. A's fans could really have something special here.
I think the bigger key to this would be, if you really want to get a John Fisher, you find a way to take away the TV deal. And I don't know what that looks like, but that's where I think teams make the most money. You know, we saw the Padres, right? Their TV deal fell through and we have to go get a loan, right? And so, yeah, fan attendance, they get income from that. But I do think the majority of their income comes from these TV deals. So maybe instead of not going to the games, maybe you're not watching at all. If there's no viewership or nobody listening, that's where I feel like you're going to get, you know, the majority of your punch to John Fisher from, the majority of your, you know, oomph to say, because you've destroyed one of the most beautiful teams in baseball. You're like, they're historic.
Here's something on that TV deal. I apologize for interrupting you.
No, please go.
But on, so a quote I saw on MLB Trade Rumors, which says, on top of the facility itself, the A's will need to sort through television broadcast specifics with NBC Sports California. Shea, Slusser, and Croner report that the A's made $67 million from their television contract last year, but will likely revise the deal and receive less revenue now. However, the move to Sacramento allows the A's to avoid the city of Oakland's proposed $97 million fee for the extension of the current Coliseum lease. It also allows Fisher to retain 50% stake in the Coliseum property itself. But it's would be very funny if nobody watched the A's.
It'd be funny.
But,
it'd be,
but wouldn't it'd be other good. Teams, wouldn't other teams fans?
They would watch, right?
It's probably a part of the MLB package. Oh, my God.
I solemnly swear to
that's
not
why he's an MLB
Oakland
owner, unfortunately.
A's. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Any Oakland you haven't A's tuned in? You haven't tuned in at all? Watch Paul Blackburn.
Hey, don't trash Paul Blackburn.
Zach Geloff is a stud. JJ Bleday is really turning around. Who came over in the AJ Puck deal. Brent Rooker is somehow going to put 30 home runs up because he's Brent Rooker.
I also did see that they signed Alex Wood in the offseason. Trying to find some deals that they made. Paul Blackburn, they signed. Seth Brown, I think he was already with them, though. I don't see any like free agents, you know, big name free. I was trying to look at the last one. I don't see any. At least not this offseason.
Look, it's not a hot take to say that the A's are the worst run organization in baseball. But Vinny, while yes, we've had two negative topics that we've talked about, the MLB is rising.
Yeah.
There are some other things to discuss. Mm-hmm. And I love a little hot take central, a little bit of a maybe no pun intended for what I might talk about here in a little bit with central. Ooh, but
sure.
The MLB right now, we're here on April 8th, and a lot has happened. We've seen no hitters.
Mm-hmm. One, a single, a no hitter.
A no-hitter, almost a second one. Almost a second. Blanco, sure. Shout out Blanco. Would love to discuss that, but I think it's, you know, he threw a no-hitter. Congratulations to him. It's a long season. We'll see if he does it again. But again, still a very, very significant moment for him.
Sure.
I want to hear some hot takes, though, because I want to discuss, we're going to probably, we'll go about 10 minutes here of maybe some hot takes that either we have written down or kind of think off the top of our head. Sure. I'll start.
What do you got?
I think the Tigers or Royals will end up in the ALCS this year.
Whoa, okay. Okay.
And here's why. If you look at all their lineups, there's a lot from top to bottom and a lot of stars that are on the come up that are from top to bottom. Yes, some players, like on the Tigers, Parker Meadows isn't necessarily came alive here thus far, but saw him tonight, almost hit a ball out at Pittsburgh, which is one of the toughest ballparks to hit at. So maybe he turns it around. Kerry Carpenter hasn't looked as good as people thought he would off the bat. 162 games, a lot of good things. 162 games.
They played 10.
Veteran bats like Gio Urshela, Mark Canna.
Good, yeah.
Young players that are really on the rise. Spencer Torkelson, Riley Green. Colt Keith has not even showcased what he can do quite yet. Then the rotations. Tarik Skubal, okay. Tarik Skubal. Reese Olson can do it with anybody. Flaherty, if he pops off, yes, he had a bad start the other day, but he's a veteran arm. Casey Mize is a really intriguing arm to watch this year. Just came off of surgery, coming back, still getting his feet wet. Number one overall pick, if people can't remember, out of Auburn to Detroit. But what I really, really like right now is their bullpen. I love Jason Foley. Jason Foley is, he should be their closer, but Alex Lane will have the spot until probably midseason. I think Jason Foley flip in. So you have both those guys. You can flip them back and forth. So you have an ninth inning role. You have guys like Andrew Chafin in the pen as well. Alex Fiedo. Some of these other names where if they get hot, in the playoffs, even pitchers can get hot, guys. We saw it with the Atlanta Braves a few years ago with blanking on the name, Big Lefty, who actually just had Tommy John surgery as well, and he just came back. But that's intriguing. The Royals, which, not to say that the maybe the Midwest bias is coming to play here, but that lineup looks pretty damn good too. Salvador Perez has all of a sudden decided that I'm 25 again. He's having an unbelievable year. He's already has an 879 OPS. Bobby Witt Jr. will win an AL MVP here in the next coming years. Michael Garcia, absolute stud, can do everything. Then you look at the rest of their lineup, dude. Like, MJ Melendez has a 1,000 OPS.
Don't sleep on him.
Nelson Velasquez, who came over from the Cubs last year, which still kills me, but there was no open spot for him at the end of the day. Watch this dude put over 30 home runs. Okay. Vinny Pasquantino, Vinny P, one of the most lovable guys in baseball, gives me Anthony Rizzo vibes, gives me that leadership style. He'll probably start a brawl between him and Aroldis Chapman. There are some things building with these teams. And then from a rotation standpoint, Cole Reagans is that dude. He's your ace, which Tarik Skubal is the ace of the Tigers. So they both have that. Then they also have some veteran leadership. Okay. Michael Wacha, Seth Lugo, Brady Singer. I would love to see get going. I know he's had his ups and downs, but you never know, man. That kid is an absolute stud at the end of the day, and he got drafted out of that reason. Will Smith is on their roster, who has won three World Series in a row. So, also something to look out for. Nick Anderson at the back in their bullpen. I have a weird feeling that one of these teams might make it. Am I crazy?
Not at all. I mean, it's about being hot at the right time. We just saw the Diamondbacks do it, right? They took down the Giants. And, you know, you're going to have a hard time convincing people that one of those two teams has, you know, because they'll have to beat one of like the Yankees, Baltimore, Tampa Bay, you know, LA or Texas, or, you know, Texas, Houston, Seattle. Like, they're going to have to beat some of those teams in order to get there. But you line up Tarik Skubal against anybody, you got a shot. Matt Manning's looked really good for the Tigers. You know, obviously he's back down to AAA, but you put Jackson Job up there at some point. Like, their arms are what's going to keep them in this. And then once their bats get going, like you mentioned, Parker Meadows and Kerry Carpenter really haven't done much. But once they start going, like, that's a scary team to watch out for. So, yeah, no, I don't think you're crazy at all. I think that's a very good call out. And those are two teams I said to watch from the beginning. I remember saying that, you know, Kansas City's going to win at least 20 more games that they won last year. I wouldn't even be surprised if it was 30 and if they took the division. So no, not a crazy thought at all.
last thing I'll mention too, the Royals showcase this offseason that they are willing to spend. Yep. You're telling me that they won't throw something out there for some of these teams now that they've extended Bobby Witt, they've gotten some of these veteran arms in there. You're telling me they won't make kind of a big trade there at the deadline to get somebody? The Tigers may be a little bit different because they're still on the come up. But remember, the AL Central is the weakest division, as people want to say, right? Mm-hmm. But what that means then is that the Tigers or Royals, depending upon who really takes the reign there, because I think it's either going to be one of those teams. I don't even think it's a competition at this point. You got three other teams that are pretty weak in that division.
I'm not counting out Cleveland just yet. I mean, they're
not counting out. But at the end of the day, would you say that those are the two most superior teams in the division?
I don't know.
Okay.
I think Minnesota.
I'll say this, though, that weaker teams to play throughout the year comparatively to other teams. Like the Dodgers have to play the Padres, the Diamondbacks, and the Giants more games and more competitive games.
I don't know which one of those three. I think Cleveland, Kansas City, Detroit. I just don't know which one to pick out of those three. I think Minnesota losing Royce Lewis immediately just killed them. That absolutely kills them. I mean, that guy's going to win you 5 to 10 games easy. That kills them. So I think they're a tier lower. I just don't know who takes the reins, like you said. But yeah, you're absolutely right. They play a lot easier teams throughout the season. So, you know, Minnesota, Chicago. Chicago looks awful. So
awful. Awful. We're running up on...
Sure.
Cubs starting time. So I don't want to rush any of our hot takes, though. Give me a hot take, brother. Give me it.
The one that comes to mind that people don't seem to agree with me just yet, and I understand why. I actually had this conversation with my dad the other day. I think the Pittsburgh Pirates are for real. Last year, they were one of the hottest teams in baseball to start the season, and nobody thought that it was for real, right? And you see that all the time this year, right? Remember what they did last year. They're going to cool off. Yeah, they're going to cool off, right? They're not, what is their winning percentage right now? 818. They're 9-2. They're not going to keep that up, right? But I think they are absolutely for real. I think this team is much, much better with O'Neill Cruz. I think this team is much better with a full year of guys like Jack Suwinski. And Tyler, you tell me Paul Skenes jumps into this lineup and you tell me he's not the best pitcher in the NL Central immediately. I don't think you can do that. So
I mean, his AAA debut. I know it's AAA, but he made the Cardinals outfielder Lars Nootbaar. I mean, Lars Nootbaar didn't know what was coming. I mean, if you watched his debut, he was gross. Yeah. But
the only person who maybe can compete in the Central with him as a pitcher would be like Freddie Peralta. And I would,
is this because of Jared Jones? Do you think Jared Jones, his impact has made this decision jump so much? Because
it's a part of it. That's a part. I think him and people don't realize how good O'Neill Cruz is. I really firmly believe that. He is I don't think he's quite Royce Lewis, but he's like a rung right below where Royce Lewis might be. Like, he is that good of a baseball player. And he may not be going for NL MVP, but at some point he'll get votes, right? Like, he's that good of a player. So yeah, you're giving me more of a, you know, Connor Joe has looked really good. I don't know where the hell he came from. I think he's probably a little bit more of a hot flash, right? They've kind of put it together. I think once they bring Paul Skenes up, they're only going to get better. So if they bring him up and they're still first place in the Central, I just have a hard time saying they're going to fall off. I really don't believe it. I think they are a much better team. Plus, do they have the best closer in the division now without Devin Williams? I think so. With David Bednar, like, he's pretty good. And, you know, Devin Williams will come back, but they have so much talent. Like you said, Jared Jones, Mitch Keller would make a good SP3. Once you have Skenes and Jones and Keller, that's a decent top three. Maybe they'll get exposed in the playoffs for not having enough pitching depth, but you certainly cannot say that they aren't, you know, in the running for the NL Central. I don't necessarily know if they're favorites right now, but this team is for real and they're going to be good for quite a while. So I don't know if it's necessarily a hot take, but I think more people than not would disagree with that. They would think, you know, oh, the Pirates are going to fall off this year. But I, you know, again, they're not going to play 9-2 baseball all year. They're not going to win 110 games, but to say that they're not going to win 90, I 100% think they could win 90 games and I wouldn't be shocked. I really do. So If they win the Central, won't be crazy. And MLB had them ranked as the 26th best team going into the offseason. And I don't know if you remember our episode, but I kind of scoffed at that. I was like, there's no way this is a bottom five team in baseball. And here they are again. It's 11 games. They did it again last year, but I think they're showing that a little bit this year.
I think O'Neill Cruz, people didn't get to see enough. You know, it was funny because they saw we got O'Neill Cruz and then we got Ellie. Like, it was like,
yeah.
O'Neill Cruz is gone, but don't worry. MLB or the MLB said, hey fans, don't worry. We got Ellie De La Cruz and look what he can do. And it's like, well, O'Neill Cruz is just as legit in my opinion. Strikes out a little bit too much for my liking, but dude, I've saw so many podcasts that talked about it. I relate this a lot to fantasy baseball because fantasy baseball looks for performance. Mm-hmm. We talked about Ke'Bryan Hayes and how valuable he was. People forget Brian Reynolds is a very legit outfielder. I love the add of Rowdy Tellez, who seemed when he was in Milwaukee, he was a fantastic part of that team. And it was a huge critical part of that team because that guy can put it out at any point over the fence. Connor Joe is a fun little player. Michael Taylor was a very underrated signing, very nice player to have. And who I am just so happy for is Joey Bart. I know he's not their everyday catcher, but think about it, dude. They lost Endy. Mm-hmm. And what their hope was is that, hey, Endy, you have the dish. We can move Davis to right. They lost Endy. It was like, oh my gosh, we now have to put
Henry Davis
back. Behind the dish, and he hasn't played there in a while. Lo and behold, the Giants, who I don't know how they didn't really figure it out. Again, dude, these players, man, a lot goes on, a lot can happen, and a fresh start is sometimes the best start. And Joey Bart, God bless you, man, because for that guy to have the performance he's had thus far, I watched today him hit I think it was over 100 mile per hour missile off of Reese Olson. I was like, this guy's back. Right past his face, he hit a line drive straight up the middle where I was like, that's Joey Bart. That's the guy that people said, he's the next coming of Buster Posey. Mm-hmm. Imagine the pressure that you have coming from that to now you get to go to Pittsburgh. You have an automatic backup position open. Boom, you go into play. What's Yasmani Grandal doing? Is he just...
It's a good question. I'll look him up real quick.
Let me see if he's on
the- I think he's out with plantar fasciitis.
Hey, that's killer. That's a killer thing. Don't like to see that happen, but you know, Grandal's only on a 1-year deal. You got Joey Bart now. Joey Bart's this young up and coming player. Now, you get Joey Bart and Yasmani Grandal to be your catchers. Henry Davis moves to right. Dude, this team looks good. I love our takes, brother. I do like our takes.
The one thing, just the last piece I want to mention is their last win or their last series win was against Baltimore. That's not a slouch, right? I'd have to look at the teams that they won last year, but that's not a slouch team. And you know, they've been doing it.
Mitch Keller had a very nice bounce back performance tonight too.
Yep.
Against the Tigers, which is like we talked about, a great lineup. Not easy to play against.
Yeah, they haven't been hitting too well, but I think it's there. The potential's there for them. But yeah, I love our hot takes too. I think those are two good.
The Blue Jays will not make the playoffs.
All right. I can't blame that one either. I think that's
my last take. And I feel bad for my boy Bacon. I hope he probably isn't listening. He probably won't listen this far into the podcast. I just don't see how they make it.
Got to invite him on and ask him. Say, hey, I don't think they're going to make it. You convince me, you know, have a little back and forth with him.
He might, funny enough, he may struggle with that a little bit.
Yeah.
He may struggle with that. That's going to be a tough one because it's not look good.
Yeah. Right.
But that's why we make hot takes, because we're like 10 games into the season.
Literally.
Let's go watch the Cubs, right?
Let's go watch the Cubs. Have a good weekend or good rest of your week. And
To everyone that tuned in, thank you so much for listening to another edition of the Big Fly Pod. We're sort of in a limbo right now as we kind of figure out what our schedule is going to be here for the season. Again, this is not full-time job. This is just for fun. But for people that do consistently listen to us, we really appreciate it. We hope that we can at least put a product out every single week for you. And hopefully we continue to do what we're doing. So to everyone that tuned in, thank you again for listening to the Big Fly Pod. And we'll talk to you again here very soon.